Coming up on tomorrow's show, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football. And I don't know, maybe he had the luxury of deploying Shime's play and we didn't even know it in that big win on Saturday.
Oh, the seam pass?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Off of play action.
Yeah. Play action, pass, to the tight end down the seam.
Yeah.
Well, did a tight end score?
Well, that's a good question. I'd have to go back and check.
Oh, maybe. Oh, so Shime's play is a big play. Doesn't this have to be a touchdown play?
Right.
Yeah, big chunk play.
So Bill O'Brien tomorrow.
A chunky play.
Bill O'Brien tomorrow and Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, tomorrow as an entire region holds their breath and waits for the MRI results on Roman Anthony's oblique. So that will all be on tomorrow's show. Now, I would like to open the Window World of Boston, WEEI, weather window for our weather smoke, Chris Curtis, so he can poke his bald head outside and give us a forecast for today. Curtis?
It feels like football. 56 degrees, gorgeous, brisk morning here in Boston. Afternoon high, sunny, approaching 80. Going to be 80 tomorrow, 82 Friday, 85 Saturday with some thunderstorms, and looking cloudy but dry on Sunday in the low 70s at Gillette Stadium.
All right. Excellent. You can get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month from Window World of Boston. So go to windowworldofboston.com. And summer, really, I guess, I get all depressed about it, but it does get extended well into September with temperatures in the 80s. So I think the mental approach, the lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to as many barbecues.
Right.
You can look at September and go, you know what? I overdid it all summer long. I gotta take a break. I gotta go salads. I gotta get out there and walk or run. Speaking of running. We have put this year's annual Jingle All the Way 5K registration opportunities up. So we are back in the Seaport again on December, I think it's December the 6th. And there will be, I'm assuming, a live Curtis and Ken show on Jingle All the Way 5K day.
Yeah, I'm going to hardo host into the AirPod while jogging.
This event, if you love Christmas like I love Christmas, it's arguably the best event of the Christmas season.
It is.
When it comes to the social calendar. So, and you have time. You got September, October, and November. So you got 3 months. You can go couch to 5K, set a goal for yourself. If I can run, walk this thing, then you can run, walk this thing. And sign up now, you get a deal on pricing.
You know who may win it this year?
Who?
Chris Curtis.
Well, he has been running a lot.
He's been running a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. It's my goal. I just want to beat Bobes, if we're being honest. But
you'll never beat Bobes.
Honestly, though, like as someone who gets, you know, incorrectly labeled a grump, the Jingle All the Way thing is awesome. It's not too deep into December where you're tired of all that stuff.
Right.
And it takes over the Seaport. And then after, there's a million things to do, just like the Snowport. So if you want a $17 piece of gum, you should go to the Snowport.
No, it's everybody dresses up. You got, if you're watching the show on Twitch or YouTube now, you can see you have Grinches, you have elves, you have Mrs. and Ms. Clauses. Like everybody dresses up and gets in the spirit, and then we have a giant party afterwards. So I would love to have you there. If you want to sign up and bring a bunch of your friends and run or walk, go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org for this year's Jingle All the Way 5K. Okay. We have leads left this morning, including one from Courtney. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, everybody. Are you dating a psychopath? There is a new study out on cyber psychology behavior and social networking, and it focuses predominantly on men.
Well, of course. And that's why you're going to go to this immediately.
Well,
but go ahead.
But actually, at the end, I'll tell you what the signs are if you're dating a woman.
Okay.
If you are dating a man and their dating profile is very popular, look out for red flags. That is red flag number one. Number two, if you went on a Tinder date, a Hinge date, a Bumble date with a man and slept with him on the first date, He's promiscuous. Well, red flag number two.
Wait a second.
Yep.
So are you.
Well, right. But they say it doesn't count for the women.
What?
Doesn't count for the women.
So if you slept with a dude, a one-night stand, first night that you met on a dating app.
Yep.
He's probably a psycho. Yep. That's what the experts are saying.
Narcissist and psychopath.
She's not.
But not her.
So, wow.
She is, in return, lowering her standards. This is the study is saying, okay. Not
is this
me.
Study
I think
from
that,
a woman?
Nope. Okay. I'm saying you should do whatever you want. Yeah. You should
Why wouldn't the guy be lowering his standards to sleep with the woman?
Nope. It's just, I'm just telling you what the study is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're saying that just as many women go on dates as men on these dating apps, but it's only the men that have these narcissistic behaviors and treat their dating profiles as some type of psychopath red flag. If you are dating a woman right now and want to know if she's a psychopath, look at how much makeup she's wearing. The study found that if she does not put on blush, any type of lip product or mascara, psychopath.
What? Who doesn't put on like a lip balm or something like that? What women
some
go
people
out
don't.
With just the dry lips?
Some people don't.
Jeffrey Dahmer's sister.
Which I found so interesting because I always thought that if you weren't wearing makeup, like you were a cool girl, like you were comfortable in your skin. Nope, psychopath.
You're natural.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So if a guy has a very active dating profile.
Which worries me because my husband was on Hinge's Most Eligible Bachelors. That's how I found him.
Oh, yeah. So he's very active in the dating world. So he's a psychopath.
I mean, you might be.
He called me a psychopath because I like oatmeal cream pie cookies.
He did. He did do that.
That was hurtful.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So with the Patriots getting ready to play this Sunday, I am hoping and I am praying based off preseason, just based off of seeing some of the things that he has been able to do when it comes to the joint practices, I'm hoping that Travion Henderson is their number one back. They're starting running back.
Okay.
I think he should get the bulk of the carries. I think he should get first and second down.
What about Ramondre?
I don't need to see Ramondre.
Really?
I think Travion Henderson, that should be the guy.
He's got butterfingers, Ramondre.
Yeah, and Travion Henderson is a guy that you can...
Now, wait, does that mean you like him more?
I don't want to run him into the ground, but he should be the guy, you know, come Sunday, opening day, he should be the guy that's in the backfield first down. He's more explosive.
Well, fair warning. I don't know if you saw this. The unofficial depth chart that came out.
He's number three depth chart-wise.
This is why I'm saying I think this is stupid. He's your most explosive back. He is probably your best back when it comes to his ability to make people miss in the open field and catch the football.
And there's something of his you won't miss.
Yes, and he brings to the table a big stick when he runs with the football, meaning where he likes to run people over. He's very physical. I just don't understand. I'm hoping, and I know it's an unofficial depth chart, but I'm hoping that week one and throughout this season that he becomes the back that gets the bulk of the carries, and he becomes, because I think he has the potential to have, and I'm not saying he's going to be that guy, but he has the skill sets of the Christian McCaffreys and Saquon Barkley when it comes to, you know, his ability to catch the football, his ability to run on first and second down, his ability to run it inside, his ability to get on the edges. Mm-hmm. So that's my hope for this Sunday against Vegas. I don't want to see him just sprinkled in there barely.
Okay. Well, it's the home opener, and
yep,
we cannot wait till it gets there. And in the meantime, you can talk about it all day long and all up until game time. Yeah, game time here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it.
So, I am well documented. I am a Bill Belichick stan.
Mm.
I think the man is the greatest to ever do it. I was certainly disappointed the way things went for Bill Belichick in game number one as a head coach in college football. That being said, I think he will find a way to turn it around, mm-hmm, and the you know, I'm not as concerned as some. I heard, I think both Jones and Keefe yesterday said he is one and done.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yep.
I heard Jones say he might even not make it
through the whole entire season.
Right. I ain't buying that one.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I am concerned about one thing, and I saw something that a video went viral after our show yesterday. And I, I have never, in all of my years of watching football, college or the NFL, I have never seen something like this. But if you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, you can see mid-game. Bill Belichick, the GOAT, mid-game, on the sidelines. And his beloved, Jordan Hudson, approaches him mid-game and needs to have a word or two, a word or two with the greatest to ever do it during the football game. And I am concerned for the mental well-being of Bill Belichick. What in the world could be so important as Jordan Hudson needs to talk to Bill during a football game, during his debut as the head coach of UNC, Curtis?
Oh, I thought this was pregame. I didn't realize this was middle of the game.
Mid-game. It is mid-game.
My thing on this, Greg, is this is why Keith and Jones said that. That it's not that like he's going to like, you know, pee his pants. It's mm-hmm. that this is.
Well, maybe hold on.
It is pregame.
It is pregame.
It is pregame. Okay, I didn't want to say
that
anything.
Makes it. That makes it better.
So it is. So does that make it better?
Yeah,
from your perspective.
I mean, there's plenty of people on the field at pregame. Like there's
no like partner. There's no like no love partner that is out talking to their husband, boyfriend, head coach at pregame.
What would Bill Belichick 10 years ago say about a coach doing this?
Yeah, that I'll give you. You won't for the most part. You won't catch the coach's wife down on the field in pregame. You know, saying whatever to him. She's probably in the box doing whatever. He's focused at that point in time in the game. I don't know what it's about, you know. Who the hell knows?
Well, they're probably recording for the Hulu special.
Oh, yeah,
I'm guessing.
Forgot about that.
So it is just devil's advocate. It is part of her job.
What's her job?
She's
the
executive producer.
Yeah, something like that for Bill Belichick.
So you think Bill Belichick loves executive producers on the sideline right before a game?
The old Bill Belichick certainly didn't. But
right, you mean the one that won?
Yeah, it's
just
a little
different. Successful.
I'm just trying to explain why she might be down there.
Yeah, I heard Jones and Keefe, they did a great job on it. Bill Belichick would mock the crap out of this.
Yeah.
The guy that was Bill Belichick. This is not Bill Belichick. She needs to get the hell away from him.
Yeah, just stay in the suite, you know, when it's pregame. You want to you ride over to the stadium. You walk into the stadium with him. I got that. Maybe after the game, you know, after the game's over, you want to run up, give him a hug. Those type of things happens all the time. But in this moment right now, pregame, all of the focus from players to coaches is about game time. And, you know, that's where your focus would be. Like, because a coach would have an issue with a player pregame running over and talking to his girlfriend or his wife.
Maybe she was asking if he would mind wearing a gold digger bracelet during the game to plug the brand.
I cannot stop thinking about Acrobatics rap last Friday. That was priceless gold.
It
what
was.
He did. So
oh my
great.
God. It was so good.
Oh,
so good.
But the issue with, and I think with this lead, with your lead, Greg, the issue is that when you go out there and you get mollywopped, and then videos like this come out, it instantly is going to be people saying, this is the reason why Bill Belichick doesn't have it no
well,
more.
Well, there are the Bill haters. That is what I hear them saying
right.
all the time.
Right.
That his mind is on this.
Right.
His mind is on you know what.
Right.
And it's not on football.
Right.
But think about guys like Gronk and Edelman and Amendola who were told that they couldn't do anything. Gronk did like the, what was it, the motorcycle thing. Monster truck, and then he was going to trade him to Detroit. Like, this guy is doing everything he demanded players didn't. Like, he's bringing distractions. And I know we did it yesterday, but, like, the 33rd team is Belichick's creation. It was a whole ESPN story about how they wanted them to be viewed as the pipeline to the NFL, that they were in between college and the pros. And when you do that on national TV, people here are shocked at the rage people feel. Well, for 30 years, they've been told how he's smarter than everyone. Last year, he was doing podcasts mocking the Patriots and Gerard Mayo for not having a plan. What was your plan, Bill? Like, I would love for Gerard Mayo to quote tweet that and be like, whoa, I wish Bill Belichick had a plan.
And if the score was reversed, this wouldn't be an issue. But unfortunately, because of how Bill used to be, and I think he's obviously changed as a person, as a coach, because it is college and just, you know, with a new influence in his life that happens to be a whole lot younger than him and saying, hey, you need to be more face forward. And when it comes to UNC and your coaching and just your brand, it's all right, all eyes are on Bill, and if he's not, and if, unfortunately, if he's not successful, people are instantly going to go, he was distracted.
Now, I don't understand, and I guess it's because there's an awful lot of dislike for the guy, mm-hmm. the way he was personally. I don't understand the absolute rush to declare that his college career is a failure after one game. I don't understand, like, I completely disagree with Jones and with Rich. I think he, what else is he going to do? He's got a deal there that's 5 years. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be blown out. The doors are not going to be blown every single game that they play this season. And I don't think the expectation was that they were going to, you know, maybe the expectation was they were going to get themselves to a bowl.
They got to a bowl last year. I think the expectations were a lot higher than that.
ACC championship at least.
Yes.
And I think
also don't have Drake May anymore. I mean, he was still a huge part of the success there.
But so it's still Bill Belichick, right?
He wasn't there last year and they were a bowl team.
He made the wrong choice at quarterback. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
Wow, Bill Belichick. Belichick undervaluing the quarterback position. Who would have guessed?
The expectations is it's Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, coming into a school that he should be able to turn around overnight. You've seen other coaches do that. They went to a bowl last year, so for them, you know, Deion's first year at Colorado is completely different because Colorado was coming off winning one game, where UNC last year had went to a bowl game. They won 6 games, and the expectation.
But he changed the entire team.
No, I understand that, but the expectation is
he brought in a bunch of guys that paid a lot more money.
They should be a contender for the ACC or one of the teams that's contending for the ACC.
100%.
And I think, Wiggs, what yesterday was, and I agree, Greg, I don't think it's one and done right now. No. I think they're going to win their next 3 games, and we'll see where they stand. But that game with that attention is only once this year. Like, that was the standalone Monday night before the NFL season.
Yep.
So to me, what that was is ending any dream, if you still had it, that he was going back to the NFL.
And it's going to be, the next 2 weeks are going to be like, all right, Bill, we expect you to beat Charlotte and Richmond. What do you do in week 4 when you play Clemson? What does that look like?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you lose and it's a close game, then I think people say, okay, it's going to take Bill some time.
Yeah.
But if you get mollywopped again, then it's like, all right, you played a good team in TCU, you played another really good team in Clemson, and both of those games, your teams weren't competitive.
Clemson might put up a 50-burger.
Yes. All right, those are today's leads. Coming up, they said it. Next. Now, Courtney and what is trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox had a wild one last night, beating the Guardians 11-7. With 2 outs in the 8th, an infield single from Alex Bregman broke the tie. Then Jaron Duran and Trevor Story followed that up with RBI doubles off of Cade Smith for the guys' second 4-run inning of the game. Justin Slayton earned the win with a perfect 8th inning, while Garrett Crochet went 6 innings in his start, giving up 7 runs on 9 hits while striking out 4. Now, Roman Anthony exited the game in the bottom of the 4th with a left oblique injury. He will undergo an MRI today. The Sox have another with the Guardians tonight. First pitch at 6:35. We've got Brennan Bernardino on the mound. Sean McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Go Shopping, Get Rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Patriots hosted 7 free agents at Gillette yesterday. They had some receivers that worked out as well as defensive backs. They have practice today as they get ready for week 1 against the Raiders on Sunday. Kickoff is at 1. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families here in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF.
All right, coming up, we'll get to They Said It next. One former NFL player says that we need to leave Arch Manning alone. Well, I'm being called an idiot again on the Subaru of New England text line for my lead. and I will read verbatim from a 781 texter who says, Greg, you're an idiot. Miss Terry was a constant presence on the Alabama sideline with Bill Belichick.
Please say verbatim.
With Nick Saban.
All right.
So maybe I should not be critical of Jordan Hudson being out there with Bill pregame.
Problem is Nick was winning, so it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? I think that's the biggest thing. And Miss Terry is very close to Nick Saban's age. So Bill is always going to get credit. Like, if that's Linda, I don't think it's a big deal. But because it's Jordan, it becomes a massive...
Well, they're not married. I mean, she's just dating him. Like, it's a different thing with Saban and his longtime wife.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know.
I think that's the biggest difference as well. I think
it has nothing to do with the marriage. It's all about the age.
Right. Yeah,
Myra Kraft was on the sideline giving kisses to Brady and McGinnis.
Well, it's also the fact that she's interjected herself into all kinds of things where most spouses, male or female, don't. Like, most spouses stay out of their spouse's workplace. Like, you don't show up at Santo's work.
No.
And follow him around and say, hey, my husband deserves this.
She has cameras.
I would love to go back and look at just footage from Bill's last season and see if she was more around than we thought.
No, she was nowhere to be found.
I mean, he was at Taylor Swift with her.
Yeah, but that's Taylor Swift, though. She was like fade to black.
I bet if we went back and looked.
There was no way she was ever on the sideline.
240 text. Greg, you're certainly better than this. Probably not.
Wait, wasn't Bill all pissed about Alex Guerrero being on the sideline?
Yes, he was.
What a fraud. That's what this is. He's just a gigantic fraud. That's it.
So, Greg, you're better than this. Bill Belichick is done. And he's certainly not the greatest of all time. So,
he's the greatest NFL coach of all time.
Now, there are people who would argue that he had the luxury of having the greatest quarterback of all time, and that's what made him the greatest of all time. Wiggy, that was the argument yesterday.
Okay, so I'd ask this question. If he's not the greatest of all time,
who is?
The
people will say Don Shula.
Don Shula, did he not have a very, very good quarterback?
Yes, he had a guy that Ty Law said on this show yesterday was the greatest passer of all time in NFL history. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, he had very good quarterbacks when he was coaching. I think, I'm not sure, but didn't he have Johnny Unitas and
Bob Greasy?
Yeah, he had so every great coach has great players.
Shime, where did you have Unitas in your mock?
I have Unitas like six. Okay. He's high up there. Guy could scoot and throw.
What a head of hair.
All right, Shime, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it on the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They said it is brought to you by Ketch's Law. They are honoring those who built this city. Please nominate somebody when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. What is first this morning?
Well, Greg, let's start with Sean McDermott. He is the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, for those who are unaware. He was in a press conference. He's upset with the narratives around Buffalo and also takes a veiled shot directly across the bow of the Kansas City Chiefs. Here is Sean McDermott. McDermott.
Just overall changing the narrative on Buffalo, that is honestly probably the number one thing for me. You know, I hear it on TV. I hear it on, you know, I'm not even watching a football game or not even a football broadcast or whatever, and they refer to that, the, you know, this area, and I'm not even going to say it. They don't know this community. They don't know us. And just because it didn't work out 4 years in a row, nobody's ever going to do that again. People don't ignite. This is, you talk about, now you're going to get me going. Like, it does. It bothers me. It honestly pisses me off because people don't know this town. They don't know how hard that is to get to four straight Super Bowls. It'll never happen again. That's where there's other things that drive. Yeah, like, we're good. I'm good.
Sean, just a heads up. Yeah. If the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl, it would literally happen this year. Mm-hmm. But thank you.
Well, I think he's saying four straight years and four straight losses, maybe. Is that what he's talking about?
Well, he's saying it's very difficult to get back the next year, never mind 4 years in a row. But generally, if you get back there, you've been able to win one.
Right.
So I
don't. How about Sean? How about getting there? Get to one.
Yeah. Well, Shime told you earlier he's got good money on them getting there this year. So.
Taking the Bills, baby.
Well, and then you're like, okay, if you get there, you kind of have a leg to stand on. I think everybody looks at the Bills like they are a very talented team, and they've been a talented team for the past several years. But when are they going to make that next step? They're the same way we look at the Baltimore Ravens. Like, when are you going to make the next step in getting to a Super Bowl?
And by the way, double draft night, got Josh Allen. So huge night for the fantasy team.
Great job, Curtis.
Thank you. And I would add that this is Sean McDermott knowing that his ass is on the line trying to make people like him in Buffalo before the season starts. Because if they don't make the Super Bowl this year, he's out.
At the very least, they have to beat the Chiefs. Right. At the very least.
Can one assume that you didn't follow Shime's new strategy of picking running backs every chance you get?
No, I did not. No. I do the opposite.
Okay. Yep. I just went running back the first two rounds. I didn't take all running backs.
I'm talking about the first pick, and it sounds to me like Curtis went quarterback, like most normal men in the United States of America. And most
what are you talking
and
about?
And most women also. Yeah.
No, nobody Josh goes Allen. In a regular fantasy football league unless it's super flex. People don't go quarterback in the first round.
Excuse me. Is the jackass who's constantly telling me how this is a quarterback only league now telling me that you got to pick a running back
in fantasy football, Greg?
Okay.
Hold on. You're not allowed to make comments about what people do in fantasy drafts if you're not even in a fantasy league.
Yes.
He's not even in a fantasy
league. That's so true.
When was the last time you participated in a fantasy football league?
When I lived in Stowe and we had a league in the cul-de-sac.
So was that like 20 years ago now?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So stop.
You know what?
People don't draft quarterbacks in the first round unless it's a super flex league.
I got more important things to do, bud.
That's fine. He's got a life.
I'm out there hanging on the streets.
Yeah, you got to go for those old man walks and have a good seafood tower.
Correct.
Yeah, I get you.
Correct. Wow. All right, what's next?
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, Greg, some people would have this guy in the top 10 all time. I may not. Joe Montana joined Pat McAfee yesterday. And was asked who his favorite quarterbacks, who he thinks the top quarterbacks are in football, especially if he was starting his own team. Here was Joe Montana.
I'm taking the guy in Buffalo.
Okay, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Josh. The guy that surprised me that I thought would, obviously, Joe Burrow's another guy I like a lot.
Okay.
Joe Burrow. And believe it or not, I like the guy in the with the Chargers. Herbert. I think they just kind of gone by the wayside there. But I don't know. I just like the way those three guys are.
BA, how do you feel about his talk?
I do also like the guy in Philly though.
Jalen Hurts. Just won a Super Bowl.
Joe Montana, like Wiggy, doesn't know anybody's name, but that's okay.
I mean, I don't know some names, but Joe, if you're watching any football, you should know the guy in Philly, Jalen Hurts, the guy with the Chargers, Justin Herbert.
What do you think of his list?
He's out of his mind.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, Joe, we love you, but you are crazy. It is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and then I'd probably go Burrow.
Then Hurts?
I don't know. I don't know if I go Hurts. I like Jalen. Oh, you said Hurts. I like kid from Green Bay, Jordan Love.
What about Stafford? The injury, the back, too big of a concern?
I think Stafford, like, he's kind of getting older now. Like, because you're asking if I had to build a team and I had to.
Oh, start a team now.
The injury is weird, too. The Matthew Stafford, like, they're not giving a lot of information. It seemed like he was in, like, a trailer during preseason getting worked on a lot.
Constantly.
It's weird.
I also still believe in C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud is still really good. I just think Houston struggled last year.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he'd be further down on my list. Jalen Hurts is definitely on my list. But I'd like to see Jalen Hurts, and obviously you can't, what he would look like if – because he's, in my opinion, he's a little bit in the Brock Purdy category. If he didn't have all that talent around him, what would he then look like?
What is next, Shime?
Well, Greg, next, let's go to a former NFL player, Ryan Clark. He talked about Arch Manning and the expectations that have been put upon Arch Manning. Here was Ryan Clark.
The problem with Arch Manning is more so other people than him. Arch Manning, period, point blank, is neither a generational nor transcendent talent. He's not Trevor Lawrence. He's not Caleb Williams. Kelly Bryant was the quarterback when Trevor Lawrence got to Clemson. Kelly Bryant ended up finishing his career in Missouri because he was replaced in the middle of the year by Trevor Lawrence because he's a transcendent talent. Caleb Williams goes into Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler, at least at the time, who's the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints right now, was the starting quarterback, presumptive number one overall pick, and Heisman frontrunner. By the middle of the season, he was on the bench too and headed to South Carolina because Caleb Williams is a transcendent talent. Arch Manning sat 2 years behind Quinn Ewers, who was a seventh round pick. And not only did he sit behind him, Quinn got hurt. Arch played and they put Quinn back in the game. And his last name is Manning. You don't do that for somebody who's going to be the first overall pick, going to win the Heisman as a junior, is going to leave school and be the dude that everybody expects him to be. Here's the other thing. In his last high school game, his team got blown out. People who are going to go on to wear gold jackets and go on to be starters in college don't lose in small school football by getting blown out by people who don't have any pros on their team.
Wow. Okay.
Listen, and then we talk, Courtney and I think we talk, she agrees, like, he has a major bullseye on his back because of his last name. He was one of the top recruits coming out of high school. He did sit behind Quinn Ewers at Texas for 2 years. So he is, like Bill Belichick, he is under the microscope. And every little thing he does, he is going to be criticized. He's going to... Because if he plays well, then instantly because of the Manning name, he's going to be, he's the next guy.
I don't think that there is a kid out there who has more pressure on them than Arch
Never.
Manning. Yeah.
I don't think ever happened in any
sport. People
will
bring up Bronny, no comparison. People will bring up Shadur, no comparison. Nope. Like this kid, the pressure that is on this kid's shoulders.
Because of what Peyton did.
Yes.
But I think there's
in
guys.
In the hype that led up to him.
Give me a break on Eli.
But the name, Greg.
He was still a top five pick.
Aren't there players in college right now that family is destitute and they need to get to the NFL? Like, I feel like that's a different kind of pressure. Arch Manning's got bazillions.
That's not what we're talking about. Like the fact that all the hype, nobody's talking about those kids' names as much as they are Arch Manning. Manning's name has been everywhere for months leading up to this, and the fact that he put up a stinker in the first one,
right?
That is. Pressure, I can't imagine.
But I would say this, though. The way in which we talk about Arch Manning is very similar to what we did with Shadur Sanders. Yet it's become this, like, racial thing online. That Arch Manning is a generational talent because he's white.
Oh, give me a break.
Like,
But Shadur...
People are saying that he gets a pass because he...
Jemele Hill
tweeted... He was anointed because he was white.
Yeah, Jemele Hill tweeted, like, explain to me why he's a generational talent.
Because his last name's Manning.
And he's 6'4".
That's true. You would expect that he would have it in the blood.
That's it. It's just his last name is Manning.
But he's 6'4". He's a really good athlete, right? He was the number one overall recruit coming out of high school. Shadur,
but the argument is that's only because his name, and it's not.
And what? Where was Ryan Clark before week one? I mean, it's a great take to have after he's embarrassed by Matt Patricia. But did Ryan Clark say he sucked before the game?
It is such a great point, though, about his high school. When you look at a guy like Kyler Murray, who nobody thinks is an NFL Hall of Famer, didn't lose a single high school game in the state of Texas, which is the hardest high school program in the country.
I think Arch Manning is. Got more pressure than Shadur. Shadur was a high recruit, but he wasn't the recruit that Arch Manning was.
But we all thought he was going to be good because his dad was Deion Sanders, like we think Arch Manning's good because
Can't take it away. Shadur was good in college. And granted, it's only one game, so I'm not going to, hit the eject button on
Barry Archman.
No,
Deion also didn't play quarterback.
And
how many expectations were different?
Games did Shadur Sanders start against a team as loaded as Ohio State?
Yeah, not many. So I'm not gonna hit the eject button. But I will say that he and all of college sports, and I start to think of guys and dealing with pressure in every sport. I don't think there's been a kid like Arch Manning that has this much pressure on him because of the last name.
And like what Curtis said, now Lucy in the car is saying poor Jimmy from Alabama, whose entire family is counting on him, more pressure. Like that, we're talking about two completely different things. The pressure of having to support your family and the pressure of the entire country watching every move you make is two different types of pressure.
But he's been prepped for that his whole life. We saw his high school games, like LeBron.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though, right? Because poor Jimmy, who's trying to support his family, if he doesn't make it, he's got to figure it out and grind it. No one cares. No one knows about it. If Arch Manning doesn't make it, he becomes the biggest bust in all of sports.
Yeah.
Like, and to that's something that will just constantly
follow
go
him
with him no matter where he goes.
Yeah. Couldn't happen to a nicer family.
Until the until Peyton's son gets old enough to get
now, if you
college.
Want to talk about the component regarding race, we can talk about how nobody gives the Mannings a hard time for trying to reorder the draft in honor of Eli, but we talk about Shador and Dion all the time.
Is there room for him next season on the Manning cast?
Could be. Okay. It could be.
All right. That's They Said It. The news of Courtney coming up, including Florida not like the rest of us. And what went wrong when a poor woman decided to sell some of her used shoes? Ew.
Gross.
Ew.
Yeah, big time.
On this one.
Big time.
That's coming up next.
Police believe they have an answer to the question we had last week on the show. If you remember, during the news segment, we had a terrible story of a man who was found dead at South Shore Hospital in the backseat of a car.
Yes.
42-year-old Christopher Caron, a man from Scituate, is now being charged with his murder. Plymouth County prosecutors said that Caron and the victim, 27-year-old Declan Perry from Maine, had been planning to meet up at Caron's Scituate home on text. The plans included obtaining fentanyl and cocaine. Mm. Perry overdosed while visiting Caron at his family's condo in Scituate on August 22nd, the night before his body was found. Then Caron called a friend who brought over Narcan. It was a girl. She said that Perry was alive when she went to bed that night. The next morning, apparently, he had not woken up.
Uh-huh.
That is when this Christopher Caron moved the body to the car.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And left him at the hospital. Huh. Now, we can hear from prosecutor Jennifer Sprague on CBS Boston revealing what he said to neighbors who unknowingly helped him move the body.
The defendant is reported as saying that it was a hockey goalie mannequin that he was trying to move, and he made several jokes and comments saying, oh, it looks like a dead body, huh?
Hmm. I saw on the news last night that they have a Google search also where he essentially searched how long after you die do you poop yourself? And also apparently they've been able to validate this particular Google search, which is interesting to me. But anyway. Sounds like
terrible.
The guy is in big trouble, as he should
On Monday night, it was around halftime.
Yeah.
So it's almost like that Kansas City type of thing where it's a drug-fueled weekend goes wrong.
Maybe that's why Jordan was out there pregame, checking the Depends or something.
You never know.
I have no
Bill
idea.
Definitely doesn't need Depends yet.
That's being generous, saying halftime. I mean, they were out of it after the first drive.
You know me. I always give them a little bit too much respect.
Quarterback couldn't complete a pass for 2 hours.
Right.
Bill's quarterback.
That graphic was so mean.
I know it was. All right. Well, at least an answer on why the body was left there.
Yes. Yeah. A house exploded in Dartmouth early yesterday morning. The video is insane. Mitch has it for those watching on YouTube or on Twitch. One person was injured in the explosion, and sadly, a dog was found dead at the scene. This explosion is under investigation, but neighbors say that the owner of the house hosted firework displays in the past.
You can see them going off, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it looks like the seaport last Thursday night for Labor Day weekend. So, I mean, am I wrong? That's
it's clearly
like
fireworks.
Fireworks that are going off.
But what set them off?
You don't store them in the home, I'm guessing. Like, don't you have a shed or like a firework shed or something like that?
You should, yes. Yeah. We can hear from one unnamed neighbor commenting on the blasts.
A firework shot across the back of my...
Yeah.
But glad. So the dog, unfortunately, passed away. But
it's really sad.
It was just an injury.
An injury.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We have got to take a break. We will continue with the rest of today's news, including Florida, not like the rest of us, next.